Tina Koumarianis is here with us. Good morning.
Good morning. What a lovely sunny morning. It's not in Rathdrum. It was raining when I was leaving, but it's lovely up here in Bray.
Okay, take some of it home with you.
I will indeed. I'll be accused of stealing.
Hi, Tina. I wonder if you can help me with some suggestions on how to deal with my daughter. She is 20 years old and lives at home, but especially in the last couple of years, she has really begun to disrespect me. I find it very difficult to live with her, as she seems to take all her feelings and aggression out on me. Have you any suggestions on how I should react, please? I would never have dreamed of treating my parents like this.
Oh, I keep reading a constant theme of young people not accepting responsibilities for their actions and their parents just accepting or putting up with it. Sometimes, growing up as children, we're taught that we're gifted or special. I mean, most parents tell their children they are. And this is especially true in a protected environment. Once we're out in the world, however, we find we're not necessarily what we thought we were, and we have to live with the world as it is, not how we would like it to be. This can be very difficult for a child who has been brought up to think they're master of all they survey, you know, little prince and princesses. That is still no reason for their parents to accept or enable disrespectful behaviour. Everyone needs to learn how to manage their own stresses and emotions in situations like these. I realise it's easy for a parent to get angry after all the sacrifices, time and energy that went into raising their child. I do realise that myself. Your child acting ungrateful or disrespectful can feel like a slap in the face, but anger as a response usually makes the situation much worse because it reinforces that the adult child has the right to think that that's the way you can act, and they do it right back to you. Think back. Was she disrespectful towards you when she was growing up, particularly during her teenage years when her hormones were going haywire and she was trying to figure out who she was? In many societies, children, as they turn 18, are considered adults. But apparently, and I found this most strange, apparently that isn't reflected in the way our brains develop. There is growing scientific consensus that suggests that adolescent brain continues to mature well into our 20s. In many cases, some of these young adults want what their parents have, a home, a car, money to spend, nice holidays, but they're just not willing to do what's necessary to get those things. Sacrifice just isn't in their vocabulary. And that brings me back to the fact that children today are given way too much and in turn expect way too much as they grow. They are constantly searching for more, never happy with what they have already, which is so very sad. Having said that, it's not only young adults. I know women who act exactly like that, always searching, never happy, always wanting more, with an immense amount they already have. You know, they're still not happy. They're just, you know, oh no, but I want. This development is both in a cognitive sense and an emotional sense. These young adults don't fully understand, or at least they don't consider the consequences of their actions, nor do they have the emotional wherewithal to regulate their behaviour. So, in essence, what the scientists are saying is that you aren't arguing with a grown child until they're nearer 30, which seems nuts to me, but there you go, that's what they say. If you are younger than this, it might help to accept that they are still on the path to becoming an adult in the neurological sense, which I know to the older amongst us seems ridiculous, as back in the day, many of you were running a house and raising 3 and 4 children by the time you were 25. There are not many people in this world whose love for us is unconditional. Parents are probably as close as any of us will ever get to it. A strange consequence of this love is the freedom that it can create to think that we can treat parents poorly. A parent's love provides a safe place in which your grown child can vent and rage and show their innermost feelings. Perhaps their work or studies are getting to them, perhaps being unemployed is harming their self-esteem and self-worth, Or it could be that their romantic relationship is in a bad place, so they take their frustrations out on you because, well, you're already there and you're willing to take it. In psychology, this is known as displacement. They feel unable to direct their emotions at the cause of their sad emotions, but feel able to express them towards you in a form of disrespectful behavior. Unfortunately, they know that you'll love them no matter what, but it can be very, very difficult for you a lot of the time. In a lot of cases, I think there may be something else going on. Part of their identity may come from needing a feeling of independence. They need to spread their wings to find out who they are and what they stand for. But if they still live at home, they may be struggling to experience any real kind of independence, which could be frustrating their efforts to develop their sense of identity. And with the way things are, with the cost of living, etc., a lot of our children will be with us for a lot longer than we may have anticipated. This could be difficult reality to accept for her and you after most of her basic needs were met while she was growing up, and it just seems never ending. Now, my suggestion to you is to sit her down, explain how you feel, that you both need some space, especially when she's feeling angry, as it's not getting either of you anywhere. You are more than willing to listen to any problems she may have. You're her mother and you love her. But if she is to remain in your house, this constant flow of aggression must stop immediately to enable both of you to lead a peaceful and respectful life for as long as she's there. You know, you can't be at each other's throats if you're under the same roof. And I mean, there's so much of it going on. You know, too close quarters, it's fine when it's a child growing up, but when there's two adults in the house, and especially two women, and each one thinks they know best, it can be very fraught.
When you say there's unconditional love, it seems to give a license.
It does give a license, and that's where they're so wrong. And it's only when they have children of their own and you're long dead, and they'll look back and think, oh, Jesus, yeah, I remember that.
I think we can get another one in.
Can we?
Today? Dear Tina, I've been having an affair with a woman I do business with for the past 6 months. There has been banter between us for some time, and I invited her to lunch. We ended up in a hotel. And looking back, I think most of the guests were at the same thing. It all seems a bit seedy now. It happened 5 times. It's over now, but I have a terrible guilt. And, well, I want to tell my wife. How do I tell her?
Declan and I are looking wide-eyed at each other. Oh, wait till I tell you what I did in the office today, or out of the office today. Well, first of all, remember this feeling. You're obviously not a man that can handle infidelity, so for God's sake, don't do it again. You're racked with guilt. Secondly, you have to realise that this may well end your marriage. I ended mine when I found out my husband had an affair. So are you prepared for that? You've got to realise that this is not going to be easy, but there are things you can do to limit the pain somewhat. Tell her you have something important you need to talk to her about, and find somewhere quiet and private where you won't be disturbed by anyone, and switch off your phones. You must be totally honest and try not to soften the blow by making light of it. It's best just to say, I've had an affair, it's over, you really, really regret it, and that's why you're telling her, and take responsibility for what you've done. Whatever you do, don't blame the other party. It never goes down well. And remember, it takes two to tango, so don't try to shift the blame. Apologise profusely for what you've done and really mean it. Offer an explanation for why you think it happened, but think carefully before you offer this explanation. Keep it plain as possible and to the facts. Don't give more detail than's necessary unless she asks for it, as it only expands an already huge problem. Admit if you've had unprotected sex, as your wife has a right to know if her health has been compromised. I suggest you go for an STI test. And by the way, having unprotected sex with somebody else when you're married is really, really dumb. Never mind the chance of an STI. What if she'd become pregnant? If after all this, your marriage survives, it might be well worth getting relationships counselling, as there will be a range of difficult feelings and emotion on both sides, and things can be said that may be regretted later. So it's good to have a mediator on hand to talk things through. Just because you've cleared your conscience, don't expect to be forgiven immediately, or maybe ever. The mere fact that she may give you a second chance doesn't mean you have carte blanche to roam again. It simply means she really loves you and is willing to try to forgive you as best she can. But remember, everybody has their limits. What you've done is broken your wife's heart and trust in you. Her husband, who she married because she loved you, and this is how you've repaid her. These things take time, but remember, if you want to have any chance of winning her back, do not blame anything she may have said or done in the past to make you look elsewhere. Unless, of course, you want to find yourself in the land of no return with you and your suitcase on the doorstep and the locks changed.
Indeed. Okay, Tina, good to see you. AskTinaK@gmail.com. AskTinaK@gmail.com. And grab some of that sunshine.
I will.
Joy Radrum for the afternoon.
Thank you.
See you next week. Thanks very much indeed. That's Tina Koumarianis from Radrum, obviously, there. AskTinaK@gmail.com.